Washington and its allies continue to impose their approaches and the circumvention of all the universally recognized mechanisms to maintain peace and security in the world. The military domination runs like a golden thread in all the documents of the United States. There are so many analytical documents written, particularly the new U.S. Nuclear doctrine, pays a special attention to nuclear weapons. They announced the creation of low-power warheads, whose deployment will lower the threshold for the use of nuclear weapons. He also announced about the will not to ratify the Comprehensive Nuclear Test Ban Treaties, and also about the intention to use all the means that they have to continue their full-fledged nuclear tests. They use it from the position of force, and this is a quote. In line with the systems which President Putin announced, we are shocked to hear any accusations of the fact that we violate all the international treaties and agreements. The State Department mentioned the treaty on intermediate range missiles that tells that bans all the sites to deploy land-based missiles with a range of 505,500 kilometers. But Vladimir Putin didn't even mention that. Other countries also commented State of the Union address. For example, the German officials said that Kremlin should make should do everything in order to deny all everything they said, and that the Kremlin shouldn't be proud of everything they are talking about. We would like also to tell our German colleagues and say what particular international agreements and treaties on the control of armaments we are violating. What are you talking about exactly? What Berlin, what evidence Berlin has, and why this evidence is not presented to the Russian Federation? If Germany and their European allies, as the official said, view nuclear weapons as a direct threat to their security, why are they not taking steps in order to not use all these weapons? Why the officials don't state that? Why articles and reviews are not saying about this on the German TV? Why the German public is not bringing the talks in this situation? Why are they not paying attention to the fact that there are also violations of all the agreements, particularly when they give access to third countries access to the third countries to use weapons? This is the question that we have for the official representatives of the Federal Republic of Germany. And then we also have a question why Berlin is so concerned about the strategic stability. Since they are so concerned about the strategic stability, why they're not commenting the nuclear doctrine of the United States in stronger terms, as they are doing, as they're doing with the statement of the Russian president. So maybe they ignore or the fact how these documents were compiled. It still remains unclear why Berlin and other capitals were not concerned by the U.S. approach to the use of nuclear weapons that is allowed to be used in emergency situations that are not limited to military scenarios. Such understanding of the role as a guarantor of the global security could be fraught with nuclear strikes against those who the United States will view as aggressors. The use of low-power nuclear warheads will create dangerous situations for all the states in the world. Even if there is a threat of, even if there is a cybersecurity threat, even if it's possible, everything that seemed to us impossible, it happened. Just imagine the goal in the Asia Pacific or South Asia or in Africa will push the wrong button in her parents' smartphone, and well, it's done already. So we try to make our colleagues to discuss real problems that concern the Russian Federation and the international community as a whole. Particularly, we offered our foreign partners to talk about the limitations of the use of ABM systems, but at the same time, regardless of all our calls, they refused to talk with us. But no one remembers that 99% of all articles don't mention even that. Being a part of the U.S. military potential, this will be a threat to the world. And in response to our arguments, the United States talked about the Iranian nuclear threat, and they said that they're not going to use the ABM system against the Russian Federation. But all the Russian initiatives to deploy the ABM systems were even ignored. They have these agreements. They stopped these agreements with Iran, but still they implement these agreements in the Eastern Europe, because they use this system to launch missiles that are prohibited by the intermediate range missiles treaty. For three-fourths, the Russian Federation has decrease the number of missiles that are prohibited by the act and treaty, and so they will review all these statements, and this is unprecedented in its scale. At the same time, around the Russian non-strategic nuclear weapons, we still see all the horrendous speculations, as if there is no reality. There is no scenario, but there is a scenario that is written. We see that these scenarios are used in the media, but there are documents, there are commitments taken by the United States, and that are not respected by the United States. I would like to strengthen once again that the development of new strategic weapons system is a response of the Russian Federation to the escalation of the military situation by the United States and their allies. It's true that this response is asymmetrical, and no one expected that. But I need to say once again that the Russian Federation hasn't violated any treaty or convention. We call on everyone to give a good examination to the Russian president's State of the Nation address and pay attention to the armaments that he mentioned, because we create them in line with all the international conventions and treaties. We're still open to the limitation and control of armaments in order to ensure the equitable and non-divisible security. We're ready to still protect our national interests and to ensure a peaceful life for our citizens. We believe that common sense will prevail, and partners will find their strength to leave aside propagandist rhetoric and to start a fair and equal cooperation in the multipolar world. Let's together live in the real world. Let's not create a virtual world and live there. Let's talk about other relevant issues of the international agenda that we would like to comment the situation in the line of control between India and Pakistan. The situation remains tense there. We see that there are clashes that are resulted into casualties, particularly among the civilian population. We see that New Delhi and Islamabad have different positions on the reasons of the escalation of the situation. We proceed from the fact that all the difference between India and Pakistan should be addressed through diplomatic channels and political channels based on the bilateral framework in line with the CIMOL agreement of 1972 and Lahore Declaration 1999. Russia is interested to see that relations between India and Pakistan should be developed in the principle, in line with the principle of good neighborhood, and that should continue the cooperation between them. We would like also to provide commentary to the inter-Syrian contacts that generates interest of journalists. We have received many questions about that. We welcome positive tendencies in the inter-Korean dialogue that took place on the 5th and 6th of March when the special ambassador of the President of the Republic of Korea visited Pyongyang. He met with Kim Jong-un. We believe that all the agreements reached between North and South Korea will be translated into practical steps, and we call on all the stakeholders to facilitate this situation. We're seeing that the result should be the stabilized situation and the establishment of the sustainable mechanism of peace and security in Asia. And now let's talk about situation in Ukraine. One of the aspects, but particularly several days ago, the Constitutional Court has made a decision that the adoption procedure of the Ukrainian law on the foundations of the state language policy of 2012 as non-constitutional. This Kovalev-Kolesnichenko law guaranteed national ethnic minorities of Ukraine to use their languages in various areas of the regions where ethnic minorities account for only 10% of the population of Ukraine. It's evident that radical nationalists do not welcome this law, that this law impedes them to impose in their country the so-called Ukrainization without taking into account various ethnic groups that live in Ukraine. For people who speak different languages due to the fact that they were born in other countries, this law serves as an obstacle for radical nationalists to build a mono-ethnic state. So we see that the Constitutional Court of Ukraine started helping them. One of the decisions taken by by them was the voting to abandon this law. This was the first thing that they have done. Particularly, Mr. Turchinov at that time didn't decide to support this decision. And you know, our Western colleagues have told us that quite often, particularly when the Russian delegation said that one of the reasons that provoked the situation in Ukraine, this is an abnormal situation around the use of the Russian language. And those who were in charge of the coup d'etat, they wanted to change the language policy in Ukraine that started to be developed. They said that it was just a try and it was unsuccessful. That's it. But now their actions were successful. And what our colleagues from the OSCE and the EU will say, what will the State Department say about that? And what will other countries say about that, particularly countries from the Western Europe or Canada, bearing in mind their own experience of conducting language policy? Or maybe they won't find any words to comment the situation there, particularly as they refuse to comment the reintegration law. What are the results, and what are the future results? You remember the results that we have seen in 2014, when the people living in Crimea decided to unify with Russia, and the actions taken by radicals and political forces that supported radicals, their attempts to change the law this year has become a mechanism for that. And after that, the civil war started in the eastern part of Ukraine. I think that we will see in the future the consequences of the action taken by the Constitutional Court of Ukraine. We see that Ukraine is not learning. We still see that they continue to build a mono-ethnic unitary state. They don't want to recognize the fact that historically Ukraine is a multi-ethnic state where different ethnic groups live there for centuries, whose values, whose interests and traditions should be respected. The presence of various ethnic groups is not a bad thing. It's your legacy. But I see that maybe they don't remember that or even are not aware of that fact. And we see what horrendous acts they are taking. This will only create new problems. We would like to pay attention of our Western partners who help their Ukrainian clients, that the support for this nationalist instinct will not result into positive consequences. Just look at the history, the contemporary history, and maybe the history of the 19th and 20th century. I think that the contemporary history will be enough. We call on the UN, OSCE, and the Council of Europe to provide their evaluations of the discriminatory actions taken by Kyiv, which violate all the international conventions and acts concerning human rights and language rights of ethnic minorities and ethnic groups.
Another issue. Unfortunately, it's a regrettable thing. We receive another, once again, the information of the violation of the memorials and the in Vienna. In Vienna, the memorial was with black paint, and due to that, the Russian embassy in Austria sent the no to the European integration and foreign affairs department in the Republic of Austria to eliminate this violation and to bring perpetrators to account. And we're shocked by the fact that despite the our repeated calls to Austrian side to strengthen the security of the memorial, to establish the security guards on the square or monitoring, video monitoring, our calls were not heard, and the perpetrators were never held to account. We hope that this case will be investigated by Austrian authorities, and in the end they will solve this problem, will take the necessary measures in accordance with their obligations, the measures that would provide security for the memorials and inadmissibility of the similar cases in the future, especially in the situation when there are some upcoming events due to the liberation of the soldiers in the Second World War that will take place on this square. We'll continue following the situation, and I would like to add that we all understand pretty well that the installation of video cameras, video monitoring on the square is not the issue of costs of the budget. It is not that expensive. The availability of the video cameras, especially in that places, is necessary, and we also have enough information. And the video cameras will just easily solve this situation. We do not know why they are not willing to do that. There is not enough political will or availability of resources. Is it the issue of funds? We do understand, we all understand that it's not the issue of the financial resources, maybe just political will. The question that we received on our last briefing about the milk wars between Belarus and Russia, I gave a short answer today. I'm ready to provide you a more detailed one. As I said last time, I haven't identified any military activities between Russia and Belarus in the issue of dairies and milk products. The exchange of milk products continues between our countries because we are allies. And according to the outcomes of the 2017, the import from Belarus of this type of products, that is a significant part, increased by 12.2% and reached more than $4 billion. The dynamics is positive, and of course, in these volumes of export, sometimes there are some problems, and what is important is that these problems are being solved by the responsible agencies, the Ministry of Agriculture. They are in contact between each other and urgently solve all the problems, and we are sure that they will be able to solve the problems that have been identified between them. And this is the way we evaluate the situation. We do not use this words that characterize the situation as a bad one, but we can say that our cooperation is mutually beneficial in the area of trade. Another question that have been received recently before the briefing on the elections in Belgrade. In particular, we were asked how we evaluate the elections that took place on 4th of March in Serbia. According to our evaluation, the elections were carried out in accordance with all the democratic procedures. Multiple observers, among which were six representatives of Russian embassy in Belgrade, have not identified any violations. The ruling Serbian Progressive Party won by majority, and according to the preliminary information, of the voting commission in Skupština in Belgrade, the Progressive Party received 64 seats out of 110, and its partner, Social Party, received 9 mandates. We hope for to continue our multidimensional cooperation with new Serbian authorities. Also, I would like to provide the answer, considering that I see here the representatives of Italian media, and I received a question from your colleagues just before the briefing asking to comment on the parliamentary elections in Italia. And Italy, I'm ready to do that. Last Sunday, on 4th of March, parliamentary elections took place there, and after that, both chambers of parliament started their operation with the participation of the president of the Republic of Italy, Mattarella, will be launched the process of establishment of new council of ministers in Italy. We hope to continue our mutually beneficial cooperation with this country. I would like to say that we received this answer, but we received this question from the Italian journalist. And finalizing my introductory part, I would like to draw your attention, to draw the attention of everyone who is going abroad, the Russian citizens, in the context of the upcoming elections, presidential elections, and additional to the information that have been given, and considering the tendency to the every time more and more trips of our citizens abroad, I would like to draw your attention to the medical insurance. We do this procedure every year, and it is not for nothing, because this is a standard procedure to get the medical insurance. It helps them in difficult situations, and we always update the information necessary for our citizens abroad in case they need to refer to the to our embassies abroad. And on our webpage, there is an updated information on visa-free regime for Russian citizens. And on this web page, you can also find all the necessary contacts and information of the operation hours of our consulate departments on your smartphones. You can install a special app that will help you when you are abroad. And especially if you face a difficult situation, there is an official webpage for all embassies abroad of the Russian Federation. The information is also published there. And you can get all the answers to questions regarding political and consulate issues. Unfortunately, when our citizens just do not pay enough attention to receive medical insurance, and they get into a difficult situation, extraordinary situation that requires the payment of some medical services. Some of them try to pay the to put the responsibility on our embassies abroad. In accordance with the legislation, the entrance and exit in and out of our country in case of lack of medical insurance, especially in some emergency situations, bears the citizens that or the person who needs the help. Our embassies are always available, but medical insurance is still necessary. To avoid any situations that could hurt you because the medical insurance have not been received in a proper way, just be vigilant and get the medical insurance and the last information. We publish on a regular basis the interview of our ambassador in Argentina. This is an interview of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs on a cocaine issue, the special operations that was carried out by Russia and Argentina to prevent illegal drug traffic. And now we can state that since the operation is ongoing and there is a special campaign in social networks, and the whole situation looks like the campaign to provide false information. It's an attempt to give false information. And I would like to draw your attention to the facts, to the material where we publish the right information. And it is obvious that such speculations and such information attacks of this level are not incidental. Who is the operator and who is trying to give false information, and why they use social networks for this to provide false information? It's a question. We also paid our attention that very often the materials, the fake news, are published on information resources financed by foreign governments directly, and it's an issue of concern. We analyze such materials, the trend of their development and appearance is also being analyzed, and will give them to these relevant agencies for analysis and further investigation. We ask you to send us the questions, and we will be ready to answer them. And I would like to remind again that the investigation is ongoing, and now I am ready to answer your questions. First of all, I would like to add a little bit about the Italian elections. It shows instability in Italy, and not only in Italy, because Italy is part of the European Union. We appreciate that you give a positive assessment of what is going on in our country, but you know, we always assess the elections that are ongoing in different countries, whether in Europe, in European Union, on other continents, and we consider them an internal affair of the particular state. It's business of those people who live in this or that country, and that is why this is the prerogative of those people who live in this country, of the parliament of the country, to choose their leaders. We traditionally state that we'll respect the legitimate choice made by people, and I can only confirm this. Oh, another question also about this issue, about the meetings between Lavrov and Tillerson in Africa. As our American colleagues say, it's quite a story. The request to celebrate this meeting was sent through our ministries to Washington, and the official representatives of the structure said that they haven't received any information, any requests from us, and they have no information at all. This is not true. We sent them a request. And moreover, we confirmed again this request during the discussions with our colleagues from the State Department, and they confirmed and they said that they are working on this request. We do not know why they said that they have not received anything from us, because on Friday, as the State Department informed, they were closed due to wind, and maybe some information were not received, but there is no problems with wind anymore, and they could start their operation. And our embassy published a comment with a full evaluation and assessment of what is going on. The requests have been sent, and we are now waiting for the response from our American colleagues. And I don't really want to give any further details on what is going on there. I can assure you that the request has been sent and the confirmation has been received. And they said that they are working on this issue. They promised to give the answer, but the answer was that no request received. That is why I'm saying that, unfortunately, everything happens as usual. Yes, please. Armenian TV last week, Armenia terminated the agreement signed in 1999. How Russia evaluates the actions by Yerevan within this treaty, and were they adequate? We didn't provide any assessment to what was done, because our representative was in Zurich, and we gave all the assessments there. We proceed from the fact that it is important to normalize the relations between those countries, which is in the interest of both countries. And I would like to state again that in Zurich, at that time, Russia was actively participated and effectively participated on the on elaboration of the agreement reached, and then we commented on this, and our evaluation still remains the same. BBC News. London said that they will give a strong response in case, just a second, it is wrong. It was different. It's not London who said it. The minister said, the foreign minister said, Boris Johnson said. When he was a mayor of London, we could say that London said, but not anymore. So if Russia has something to do with the story which is going on there with poisoning. As you know, yesterday we they were given some evaluations from the press secretary of the Russian Federation, Dmitry Peskov. I can repeat his words, and for today this information is adequate, and this is the answer on the reasons, what was the reason of what happened. What happened was that person was used by foreign media for the purposes of anti-Russian campaign. The situation is being developed in a traditional way, and there are traditional ideas that appear. This campaign clearly shows the some made-up story, and we can only call it a provocation to make our relations even worse with the country. Another question. I would like to add one more thing. Proceeding from your evaluation of the situation, you said that it's a story. There were a lot of stories like this. What was the end of the story with Berezovsky? What was the end of the story with Perepelichny? Do you know? Of course not. Do we know? Nobody informed us, neither through official channels, between the ministries or through other channels. Nobody informed us. And as you said, this is a story. You're right. And first they published the story and developed the story in the media, providing some accusations without facts. And then neither journalists nor publicity or authorities get the real information. The scenario will repeat. Perepelichny and Berezovsky, they all had similar situation. The scenario is still the same. Yes, please. Did the Skripal renounce Russian citizenship? I have no information on this issue, but I know that he lives in London. Have you received any requests to support the investigation? No official requests for today have been received. Yesterday, there was made a statement and the comment. As of today, we haven't received any requests to joint or common work with Russia on investigation of this case. Yes, please.
The Counselor for National Security of Afghanistan has replied to Russia's concerns on the transport of ISIS terrorists and using the helicopters and declared that at this point some of them are in an Afghan prison, and he asked to send a group of Russian special services to investigate the case. How can you comment on this? You need to get more information. I do not have it right now. I will get to you later. Yes, please. Kyoto Tsushima, Japan Information Agency. On the 1st of March, President Putin, during his speech, declared that Russia has developed weapons, and at this point the American ballistic missile defense would be pointless. And you said that this was a response. But does that mean that we do not need to think about the global ballistic missile defense systems anymore, including the systems in Northeast Asia? And how about you? Is that your answer? I think this is an answer. You see, we keep talking about this, and we will repeat this. We are talking about creating a global security system which would include the indivisible world, world without safe or unsafe zones, the world that does not concentrate strategic resources in order to make a certain country or a group of countries or regions safe and secure while making others insecure. We proceed from the understanding that we should establish international cooperation according to relevant agreements and doctrines and strategic papers, and we have proposed such cooperation and such dialogue with all the interested parties and countries. Unfortunately, these talks that security is indivisible only remain talks from our partners. We are ready for such work. We are not only ready to dialogue, but to practical implementation of this right thesis on the indivisibility of security. But the matter and the question that I asked you, I think, is very relevant. Yes, please. Off the mic. off the mic. The microphone is off. Now it works. Washington Post newspaper. A matter on arms control. Are there any talks at this point between Russia and the United States on the what happens after the new START expires in 2021? And how do you think the results of these talks should look like and how they will be affected by the president's speech? This is a great question, and I will give you a detailed response personally, and it will be published on the website. Thank you. Yes, please. I'm Ram Gassan of Tsarigrad TV channel. First, allow me to congratulate you and wish you a happy 8th of March, wish you health and success in protecting the sovereignty of our country. I have two questions. First, did anyone accuse Russia of interfering in the Italian election? And second question, on the meeting of the foreign affairs ministers of Iran and Russia in Astana, recently the Vice Prime Minister of Turkey declared that the Turkish forces, along with the Free Syrian Army, have seized control of 50% of the territory of Afrin. And during the meeting in Astana, will the minister discuss the offensive of the Turkish forces in Afrin? And what is the Russian position? On the second question, we always discuss this in our contacts with Turkey. As for the first question, they started accusing us long ago of interfering in the Italian election, and the Italian colleague will confirm that before the election, they published an article in the Western media concerning the technology of Russia's interference in the elections, in particular how it would be made in Italy. We've been accused of interfering in the internal affairs and election of Italy long ago. They've been predicting that Russia would interfere in the process. That is why, unfortunately, it's impossible to stop it. And the trend has been started. They only keep throwing in new and new fake information to fuel the scandal, and take note of the article that was published a day before the election, a big, enormous article with analytics. What was the reason? What was the point? The point was to set up the Italian voters to incite fear and affect the elections. That is an example of affecting and influencing the election. We only declare that this was a free expression of the will of the people of Italy or any other country holding elections. Any more questions? Yes, please. Timur Selivan, Sputnik Agency, Maria Vladimirovna, in December 2017, during the briefing, you declared that Russia had a positive estimation of the Georgia's signing of a contract of monitoring SGS company cargo from Switzerland, and they said that Russia would begin signing the document. And the second question, in February this year, there was information that Russia's and Georgian representatives in Georgia were supposed to discuss the matters of open skies flights. And was that meeting in Vienna? And if yes, did they achieve a consensus? And the third short question on the visa regime from Russia for Georgian citizens. It's been active for 18 years, and have there been any progress on it? As for your third question, you know that we are working on this progress, as you call that, and neither Russia nor Moscow cut our ties with Georgia. It was the other way around, and this resulted in the situation that we have now, and that's why we understand that the people of our two countries and the representatives of different areas of business, of culture and public or non-government organizations want to go there, want to cooperate. That's why the ministry authorities are always saying that work on solving the visa matters between our countries are being held, and it's on our agenda. It's an urgent issue. As for the first two questions, I will get to you later. I will provide the information you need. Yes, please. Ekaterina Sofia, a matter on the recent meeting between Kim Jong-un and the special representatives of the South Korean president. Kim Jong-un expressed his agreement to hold a summit between the North and South Korea in the end of April, and the U.S. expressed temperate optimism, saying that they will not participate in the official talks with the People's Democratic Republic of Korea. And what does Russia think about this? And the second question, special representatives of the South Korean president, Mr. Chung, is supposed to come to Moscow to inform it about the results of the meeting, and when is the meeting expected, and who will participate from Russia? On the first question, on contacts between the North and the South, I have already shared our approaches. As for the meeting that might take place on this matter in Moscow, we will give you the dates when we get them. So far, I do not have such information. Yes, please. BBC Russian service, Sergei Vereshkovich, another question. Slutsky, member of parliament of the Committee for International Affairs, have been accused of harassment by one of my colleagues, and she has an audio recording confirming that Mr. Slutsky actually harassed her. And in your opinion, the man who represents Russia abroad, did I harass her? The matter is, what should be the reaction to such accusations? Why are you asking me this question? Mr. Slutsky is friends with Lavrov, and he represents Russia on the world arena. Is there only Slutsky on the recording? On the recording, we hear the words of Slutsky. So what does this have to do with the foreign ministry? What is the link? Do you see any link? Slutsky represents Russia on the world arena as the head of the Committee for International Affairs of the State Duma. This does not concern the foreign ministry at all. I will allow myself to say, I will give myself the freedom to say that yesterday, on air of the Russian radio station, this topic was discussed, and later we decided that we should talk about this problem before the 8th of March, and tomorrow it will go live. Today we will record it and we will talk about it, but I can only talk about this personally. I do not see the reason for an official comment. I think this is a matter to the relevant structure, perhaps the Ethics Committee of the State Duma, or to the parliamentarian himself. I do not see the link with the foreign ministry. And what can you say personally? You will hear that on the radio. Yes, please. Bulgaria media breach, Boris Anzamov. The football fans of Bulgaria asked to tell you that Russia inspires them, and we want to congratulate you on the upcoming holiday, Boris. Did you see what questions were asked? Some time later, perhaps you will also be accused of harassment. We want to congratulate you. And I have a question. I see you're getting nervous. Last time, you wanted to provide citizenship to the Bulgarian Prime Minister. And one of the NGOs of Bulgaria has proposed your candidacy to the Honorable Citizen. And another organization. Yeah, I see the procedure is very simple. And another private organization said that they would discuss your candidacy, and they give you the address registration in the city, and you can choose from 1 to 60 options. And a small present on this occasion from MediaMost Bulgaria company, if I may. Oh, now we're talking. Learn the lesson, BBC. Thank you, it's very beautiful. I see this is a symbol of the Russian-Bulgarian friendship. These are the flags of Bulgaria and Russia. The people of Bulgaria and Russia have always been together. And recently, I came back from Bulgaria. But I see the colors of the Russian flag are a bit confused. Everything is right in there. And all right. Let's agree that the presence of the colors is right and their positions can be argued. And recently the Russian patriarch Cyril returned from Bulgaria and he was disappointed. And I have to take matters in my own hands to show the closeness of our people. So you're an unassigned minister, so to speak. And to show the closeness of our people, I wanted to invite you to dance together. We will discuss that. Any more questions or presents or gifts? Yes, please. Hello. On Syria, the town of Ghouta, the Reconciliation Center in Syria has declared that it was ready to provide safe exodus or an escape for the armed groups and their families from East Ghouta. Was there any agreement reached on this occasion in order for these groups to leave East Ghouta? My only question is, what is Russia's position? Russia's position is that the terrorists who continue fighting and those who continue committing acts of terrorism should be eliminated. Those who want to surrender, you know that it is possible to do. And then the civilians should have an opportunity to leave these regions, which are currently in the hostility zones. Any more questions? Yes, please. Россия сегодня agency, two questions. The first on the first part of the briefing concerning Crimea. Ksenia Sobchak recently declared that she sent a letter to the embassy of Ukraine saying that she has an intention of visiting Crimea through Ukraine. And this situation has already been commented on the parliament of Ukraine, and they said that this situation was schizophrenic. And what would your comment be? And the second question, the U.S. has implemented new sanctions against North Korea for the use of chemical weapons and the murder of Kim Jong-un's brother. And what do you think about the implementation of these sanctions and keeping in mind the dynamics between North Korea and South Korea? You know our position on the sanction policy and sanction actions, and we proceed from the fact that the sanctions which were introduced by the Security Council, in particular concerning North Korea, are absolutely legitimate. As for other sanctions, even though they are motivated by the situation in the Korean Peninsula and in North Korea in particular, they are adopted in addition to the Security Council decisions, but not through it. And they are motivated by issues other than those discussed in the Security Council. They have not been approved by the Security Council, and we do not think they are legitimate. And we think that the current situation, and we have seen the picture developing in front of our eyes in a very dramatic fashion. A couple of months ago in this hall we had questions on the prospects of full-scale hostilities on the peninsula. That is why we should welcome everything that is being done in order to calm down the situation and in order to restore peace and talks. We should be very careful in this situation and not get involved in the provocative actions which could aggravate the situation and throw it back and come back to what we started from, this enormous tension. As for your first question, you know, I have seen the reports. I think it was yesterday in the evening, or rather this morning. And this reminded me of the situation of the mid-2000s. Rather post-2005. I was working in New York back then in the Russian permanent mission at the UN, and there was a Security Council session involving heads of state, and from the Americans they had the US President George Bush, and it was a rather funny story. He was sitting in the Security Council hall, had a table, and during the session he kept writing something down on a list of paper. And later we found out that the photographer of one of the agencies was trying to take a picture of him, and then the photo was published online, and in his notes the US President George W. Bush was asking for permission from his counselor Condoleezza Rice if he could go to the toilet. So everyone asks permission if they think it is required. Any more questions? Yes, please. Hello, Jeffrey's Information Agency. My name is Anastasia. Recently, after the president's speech, much is being said about the new military power of Russia, but we all know that we have the most beautiful soft power. It is you. That's why I want to congratulate you on the 8th of March. Learn the lesson, BBC. Yes, you are a rare guest here. Yes, I wish you all the success in your work and interesting briefings. Thank you very much. I'm very glad to hear that. It is our joint holiday. Thank you very much. If you do not have any more questions, first of all, I will work on the questions that I have received, and we will give you the answers. And I congratulate all the female journalists, and it is a very important holiday for us, the international holiday. And once again, happy holiday. Good luck and happy celebrations.
You're listening to Weekday World on CPR, CommunityPublicRadio.org. I'm your host, Don DeBar.